Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Wall Street versus Main Street, a refrain we hear over and over. But what does that mean here in the New York City area for day-to-day life in the neighborhoods, just a mile or two from the real Wall Street? You may have heard a report on Morning Edition earlier today from our Lisa Chow about how one such block in Borough Hill, Brooklyn, is doing. That report is part of a larger initiative on the part of WNYC News to closely examine life on six streets throughout the region in the current economy. Take a listen to some of the voices and stories from all around the city that they've already gathered.
What we love about Smith Street is being on this corner, you know, it's this intersection between downtown Brooklyn and then artsy Brooklyn.
Taking a walk up the first few blocks of Victory Boulevard is like taking a world tour. You pass Mexican grocery stores and package stores.
Bowery, you know, this is the next hot up-and-coming neighborhood in New York City.
I eat in Chinese restaurant in Flushing. Everything is in Flushing.
It's on the upswing. The question is, especially with the new economy, the bad economy, how fast is it going to progress? Right now, the stores on 161st Street are not doing well.
Voices from Smith Street, Brooklyn, Victory Boulevard, Staten Island, the Bowery in Manhattan, Flushing in Queens, Queens Chinatown, and 161st Street in the Bronx. I think we should call that Main Street Flushing in Queens, right? 161st Street in the Bronx, the last one, all part of the WNYC Newsroom's Main Street New York City project, Main Streets NYC. Over the course of the next year, this project will be watching those particular streets across the city and one in New Jersey to see how some of the changes in the economy play out on the blocks where people live, work, and shop. So let's listen to some more samples, and let's talk about what's happening on some of those streets in particular. Karen Frillman is with us, the newsroom's managing editor, as well as two members of the team on the streets beat, Bridget Bergen and Elaine Rivera. Bridget's been assigned to track the Bowery in Manhattan. So far, she's reported on the Bowery Mission and the Bowery Poetry Club. Elaine is walking 161st Street in the Bronx, right in the shadow of the gleaming new Yankee Stadium, and we'll find out how that's affecting the street. So Karen, Elaine, Bridget, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brian. Hey, Brian. Thanks.
Karen, first off, tell us a little bit more about the idea behind the project.
Well, when we started to see the economic indicators come in, and you know, in the fall, and you know, Lehman Brothers went down, these big employers were really hemorrhaging employees, and people started talking about what's going to be the impact on Main Street. And I started thinking, you know, there's so many sections of the city that I don't get to see. I don't know the answer to that. And so we began to think about looking at the small businesses that are, everybody says it, they're the lifeblood of the city. 1.8 million people are employed by small businesses, and that doesn't count the unemployed. And so what is this new economic reality doing to small businesses? And that was the idea.
How'd you pick the blocks?
Well, we had a pitch process. You know, I sort of sent it out to the newsroom and said, what do you think about this idea? People liked it. And so I started asking people to send in blocks and to send in ideas. And one of the big things I wanted was I wanted them to be near reporters' homes. I wanted them to be places that they walked regularly so that we could really get these data points at various points in time. One of the things with journalism is, you know, you go in, you take a look at something, you go to a press conference, you follow things, but it's very, very helpful to be able to watch things over time. And so geographic diversity, where people's paths, I wanted them to be on people's paths, and they needed to be commercial sectors that people went to regularly.
And listeners, you can see a Google map that highlights the blocks that we've chosen at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Within the map, you can even find a link to go into Street View so you can walk down the block and see the stores and houses along these six particular blocks. Bridget, Elaine, briefly describe your blocks for us. Are they mainly, Bridget, you start with the Bowery. What stretch of the Bowery, and, you know, people think of another economic downtime in our nation's history and the phrase Bowery bums and all of that. What is the Bowery today?
I mean, what the Bowery is one of the city's most historic streets. It has a legacy that dates back to the founding of Manhattan. The word Bowery itself is derived from the Dutch word for garden. It was the street that led to Peter Stuyvesant's farm. And so it has this very rich history, but most often is associated with things like the Bob Dylan song that you hear and this idea of the Bowery bums and this idea of the Skid Row of New York, which I think is something that if you anyone takes a trip to the Bowery today, that feels in some way like a very distant memory. There's so much that's been developed. There's so much change that has happened. And yet some of the legacy of that continues. There are institutions that continue to be anchor institutions on the street, places like the Bowery Mission that still draw people to the street. But one of the tensions on that strip, and in particular for our introductory walk down the street, we focused on just a short five-block stretch between Houston and Delancey Street. So we knew that it's such a long street, we couldn't cover everything when we went there for the first time. But just within that five-block span, you can see both that history of the, you know, people still going to the SROs and to the Bowery Mission, but also you see the Whole Foods and you see what was supposed to be a brand new green hotel, and you see this new business called Green Depot, which is a new sort of Home Depot for the crunchy granola set. It's sort of a...
And you wrote a blog post that says, the Bowery, once New York's Skid Row, now teeters between commercialization and gentrification. Has that changed at all? Because those are two things that are both threatened in this economy, commercialization and gentrification. Have you seen a change just in the last couple of months?
Well, it's certainly a commercial strip and continues to be. You know, if you own a restaurant in New York City, you go to the Bowery because that's where all the restaurant supply stores are. But in terms of the development that was going on there, one of the pieces that was interesting to me was there's an address, 250 Bowery, that was supposed to be the site of this brand new green hotel developed by Peter Moore Associates. It was a project that started at the development boom for the city. It was 2006. If you go there now, it is fenced up with plywood, and it is a 30-foot hole. When I went there initially, there was a trailer that was outside where the construction manager sat, and they told me about how they were renegotiating with the banks, you know, in the face of the economic crisis, to try and come up with a way to build this hotel. Now they've since lost their financing. They're facing lawsuits, and it's one of those things that we'll be watching over the course of the year.
Karen, you want to bounce off that regarding the Bowery?
Well, I think that the Bowery is one of these streets that's in transition, right? I mean, the economic boom that New York experienced after New York was really started to become prosperous again, and the Whole Foods, as Bridget mentioned, is like, who would have guessed that we'd see a major kind of high-end organic place on Houston and Bowery? I mean, that was really unthinkable 25 years ago. And yet, it's not as if the Bowery has completely reimagined itself. It still has these old stores. And one of the things that we found is that if you have a lease, one of the places that Bridget reported on, they've had a lease there since the 70s. So they're probably going to be able to weather this economic crisis. The Green Depot just got their lease. So depending on how well the economy goes, they may not become an institution on that street. And that's one of the things that I'm really interested in tracking. How does a small business stay on a street for 30 years? How do these fixtures become fixtures in New York? And what will be left after this downturn?
And on the Bowery, they sell actual fixtures in all those restaurant supply stores, some of which are still there. Elaine Rivera will talk to you in a minute about 161st Street in the Bronx, but here's another montage from the Main Streets NYC series. Let's listen to a collection of some things that you've been hearing from individual peoples on these streets about how they are being hit.
People are not really shopping right now.
Our businesses right now is terrible. We've been here like more than 20 years, but we never ever faced like this kind of situation.
The economy hit, so right now we are on hold. It's very hard to predict.
Now it's a little scarier because I think people feel like they're kind of alone, as opposed to 9/11 when it was more of like everybody had this sort of overwhelming grief as a community.
It's just boring more than anything.
We just keep hustling. That's the bottom line. You got to hustle. Try to bring in revenue.
And that last voice was Nicholas Carone of Barry Pizza and Restaurant Supply, one of those supply stores on the Bowery, your block. Bridget, he said he's hustling. What does he mean by that?
Well, I can't explain everything that I would know that he means. What I know it meant on that particular day was that someone had come in from Toms River, New Jersey, to buy a pizza oven, and they did their best to make them the best deal. So that guy had walked up and down the street pricing out ovens and ended up buying it from Bari because he could buy it there for the best deal and probably paid cash for it.
We're talking about the economy as expressed on some main streets around the New York City area, part of WNYC's Main Street NYC project, with Bridget Bergen, Karen Frohman, and Elaine Rivera from our newsroom. And Elaine, you are following for the next year 161st Street in the Bronx. And that's one of the most famous streets in the Bronx because it's got both Yankee Stadium and the Bronx County Courthouse.
That's
Why'd you
correct.
Pick that?
Well, as Karen said, she wanted reporters to go to neighborhoods where they live. I live near the area. And it is a very strange juxtaposition because you have the South Bronx is still considered the poorest congressional district, but yet you have this $1.5 billion stadium that's just been plopped down. I mean, it is America's Coliseum. People from all over the world come to see this stadium. So, and it was just built in 1 year. So right now what you have is, to use a baseball metaphor, the ball's in the air, and the local merchants have no idea where the ball's going to fall for them because basically, you know, I was telling Karen and Bridget earlier that this is a mall that's been created. It's not just a stadium. It's a mall. There's stores. There's restaurants that are going to be open all year round.
Inside
the stadium? The stadium. Absolutely. They're going to have off-season events. I mean, just even a few Sundays ago, they had Joel Osteen, the evangelical minister, there. You know, it was packed. So they plan concerts. They plan all these things. And so, but the local merchants there on 161st Street who tend to serve the community are very concerned because they feel like all their business is going there, especially like the souvenir shops and the restaurant owners, that all of that is going to be taken in. And there's been a recent controversy because with the police department and the local merchants, because the way the barricades are being set up, they feel like people are being shepherded in into the stadium and not allowed to come out. And
it's interesting that you bring that up, because I was walking by there the other day, and I noticed, I didn't try to go in to see if this was true, but it looked like the stadium itself had a Yankees souvenir store that you could walk into from the street without actually having bought a ticket to get into the stadium.
That's correct.
Unlike in the past, in order to get into their main Yankee store with the expensive clothes and, you know, you can buy $55 sweatshirts and all that stuff, you would have had to be in the ballpark. So by setting that up, they're competing with the little merchants,
stands, right,
Sports World, and stores like that are outside trying to make a living off the Yankee games.
Exactly. And then along 161st Street, there's several souvenir shops, and their prices are much cheaper. But if you have barricades set up, and people don't tend to explore neighborhoods when those barricades are set up, people are just going to go into the stadium. And there is the team store. And then there's a Hard Rock Cafe. I mean, it's, you know, there
that's
it is.
Part of the stadium?
It's part of the stadium. And you could just go. And, you know, that
do
takes
you have to be in the ballpark with a ticket to that Hard Rock Cafe?
I don't think so. I don't think they have access. But other restaurants, yes. The other restaurants that are open and any access that you have to see the field, I think. But I'm not sure exactly about the Hard Rock Cafe, but I do think you could still go in there.
So what is it? What else is happening on 161st Street? Anything other than the impact of Yankee Stadium?
Well, there's the whole issue of rezoning. They're about to approve final rezoning to build up, which means there's going to be office spaces, condos, hotels. Local merchants are very, very concerned because many of them don't own the land. So they're getting short leases. There's a hardware store right around the corner from 161st Street that, you know, the hardware store owner's stunned that he he just lost his lease because they doubled his rent. In this economy, they doubled his rent, and he has to close down. So a Dunkin' Donuts, which is a chain restaurant.
Why do they think they can get? Oh, is that what's moving in?
Because,
is it Dunkin'
Donuts?
No,
a Dunkin' Donuts had to close down because
also.
they don't want to give long-term leases because they're going to, the landlords want to be able to have the ability to, I think, kick people out because once this rezoning goes through, they want to be able to build vertically. So they could build these, you know, high-rise, whatever, office space, hotels, condos.
Sounds optimistic for the present moment. Well, Karen?
That's one of the things that's so interesting. It's counterintuitive. Elaine came back from the Bronx and said everybody up there is very nervous about this new rezoning because and we know that there's been a lot of rezoning in the last 8 years as the economy has moved up, and that's been part of the Bloomberg administration, to say, how do we actually remake this city and make it in, you know, bring it into the next century? So these stores that had been there and been part of the Yankee Stadium scenario for years, there now is this sense that they're going to turn this into a kind of a global block. And so that's a plan for, it may not be this year or next year, but going forward, that's the big picture.
Eddie in the Bronx grew up around there, and he's calling in. Hi, Eddie.
How you doing?
All right.
I remember 161st Street and River Avenue, which is under the L, which was the street that was in the outfield of Yankee Stadium, which is still the old stadium, from 1960 to about 67. So I was there through all those great World Series years. From 60 to 64.
And you were a kid at that time?
Yeah, I was 10 or 11, 12, 13,
right.
14, 15. Okay. And I'm not just going to talk about the ambient of 161st Street, but, you know, during World Series time. But all the businesses that I remember were there from, you know, way before I was there.
What were some of those businesses?
The Yankee Bowling Lane, the Yankee Lanes. The restaurants, Yankee, you know, they had, everything was Yankee, outfield, you know, restaurants, bars, places to eat. Even more so, you mentioned places that are now concession stands, I guess, inside it, where they sell uniforms and stuff, you know. They used to have them, you know, lined out on River Avenue.
Right. Well, they still do have some of them lined out.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. They moved Yankee Stadium. I've been there, and I've, you know, there's very little still left. And I remember last year, I questioned one of the guys, what are you guys going to do? They said, we're going out of business. I mean, I'm talking about the street
the
that was
that
behind the old stadium, not
right.
the new stadium, moved a block away.
Eddie, thank you for your call. And that is an interesting question, really. How far will people walk to shop at souvenir stands after the game? And I was wondering that when I was there the other day, looking around the because Eddie's exactly right. Those souvenir stores and some of the bars and hot dog joints and stuff were immediately across River Avenue from the old stadium.
Right.
Now you have to go to the corner of the new stadium and cross diagonally and walk down that next block
That's
of
right.
River Avenue. Did you talk to them yet? Are people doing it? Are those in the home games that have been played so far, are those businesses holding up?
Well, I just like to tell Eddie, the bowling lanes are still there. But yes, people are not crossing over. They're just not doing it. And part of it, again, as I said before, people feel like it's because of these barricades that are just shepherding people into Yankee Stadium. And also, Yankee Stadium, the prices are high. So people are going to, you know, go in there and spend money in there. They're not going to come out and say, let me just go up the street and check out this other souvenir shop and what have you. And there are several souvenir shops. Whether they're going to last or not because of the competition from Yankee Stadium, you know, it's, you know, we're going to see that.
We have one more montage from the Main Street series, one that highlights a bit more optimism. Let's listen.
It's a little bit like surfing. If we can just sort of catch this wave and keep the customers coming and keep telling them why they need to be shopping at our store, then I think we can continue and we can come out of this difficult recessionary time.
My biggest thing here is my $5 food specials for lunch and all day. And that's keeping the volume of people coming in.
We cannot compete with the price. We have to compete for service. If the service is good, they don't mind to pay a nickel, 10 cents more.
The store has been here 75 years. and through wars, depressions, and you name it, we will survive. I mean, this store in particular will be here as long as the wrecking ball doesn't get us.
As long as the wrecking ball doesn't get him. So, Karen Frillman, where are you finding these pockets of optimism? Is there a pattern?
Well, Main Street Flushing, also Richard Ye came back with a story saying that is the Pan-Asian community there. That's a very healthy, vibrant community that's looking forward to the changes in Willits Point. They see that as a great, you know, potential for growth. And we're also seeing that small business owners are very hardworking, very scrappy, very independent, and they're trying to figure it out and they're trying to make it work. But we'll be watching, as I say, over the course of the year to see how many can hang on.
And we heard some of that scrappiness, I think, in that montage of those small business owners. So how can listeners get involved? Because I imagine there are a lot of listeners right now who are saying, hey, I live on that block or near that block, or hey, why didn't they choose my block?
Well, we'd like people to go to the WNYC blog. The Main Street project is there, Main Street, New York City. It's on the news blog. Comment. Let us know what you're seeing on those particular blocks. Let us know if you're changing your buying habits, if you're continuing to frequent your Main Street. And tell us about the streets that you go to and how they're doing. I mean, we're interested.
All right. And you can see that Google map once again by going to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and we've got their Google map up there. And let's see, do you have a main page, WNYC.org/Main Street? Does that exist?
There's a category for the Main
news.
Street within the news blog.
Okay, so WNYC.org/news is another way to get to see all the Main Street material. Elaine Rivera, we'll talk to you again about 161st Street because you're going to do this for a year, right?
I hope so.
And Bridget Bergen, about the Bowery coming up again, and managing editor Karen Frillman about the whole deal as we continue to watch these six main streets in the New York, New Jersey area. Thank you all. Great work.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up in just a minute, there was a hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday chaired by John Kerry about the future of the news business. And it got into kind of a back and forth between newspaper people and Google. We will play some clips from that and ask if newspapers need to be protected by law from Google. So stay tuned.